Parshas Pekudei is the last portion in the book of Shmos, the book of the Exodus. As we know, there are Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Well, strictly speaking, seven, but we'll wait till we get to Haloska to discuss that. But the standard, traditionally speaking, we go with the five books, Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And we have Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Dvarim. We are finishing the book of Shmos. The last portion is Parshas Pekudei. And as the Ramban pointed out in his introduction to Sefer Shmos, it's the book of Golas V'Geula, the book of exile and redemption. And we know we started off with the slavery in Egypt, and we finished with going free from Egypt and receiving the Torah in Har Sinai. So what are all these extra four or five portions doing at the end? So the Ramban points out it's a portable Sinai. We can't take the mountain with us, so we take the lessons of the Torah, and that's what the Mishkan represents. So Parshas Pekudei deals with the completion of the Mishkan, and the Torah summarizes all the different donations and constructions and all the different components of the Mishkan. But the parasha begins, Eila Pekudei HaMishkan Mishkan HaEdus Asher Pakad Al Pi Moshe. So the Torah says these are the accountings of the Mishkan and the Mishkan of the testimony. The Mishkan HaEdus, which is a separate discussion, that's because of the Aaron, the Holy Ark was housed in the Holy Ruchos were housed in the Ark in the Mishkan, and that gave the Mishkan the sanctity. But there's an apparent redundancy in the Pasuk. We know the Torah is very concise. For certain, not extra letters, not extra words, not even extra letters, and even what they call Kutso Shel Yud, the top on the letter of the Yud is an extra, there's something to learn out from it. So if there's a whole extra word, HaMishkan, HaMishkan, the Torah could have worked out to say Mishkan once. Why the need for the double language of Mishkan and HaMishkan? So Rashi seems to be bothered by this question, and he quotes from the famous Medrash Tanchuma, and he says it's actually an allusion that to the two Bate Mikdosh, the two different temples that in the future will be destroyed. That he writes like a play on words, Mishkon and Mashkon. Mishkon means sanctuary, Mashkon means collateral. So to speak, the two temples were taken as collateral, and because of our sins, as we say in our tefillas, Ubumnei chataeinu galino meyartzeinu, because of our sins, we were exiled. Again, today we don't have prophets, and there's no one to explain any specific incident based on a specific sin. But in general, Chazal tell us, Ubumnei chataeinu galino meyartzeinu, because of our sins, we were exiled. And because of our sins, the Beis HaMikdash was taken away from us, so to speak, like a collateral, and that's the language of Mishkan and Mashkan. So what's this connection? What is the deeper meaning between the word Mishkan and Mashkan? Why teach this lesson through the idea of a collateral? So there are two schools of thought. One very positive, one not so positive will be true and painful, and we'll try to reconcile the two. So one is a famous piece from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in his Emes LiYaakov and his Sefer on Chumash. He wants to point out this Medrash is showing that the Jewish people's tremendous love and connection to the Beis HaMikdash. Even though we still don't have the Beis HaMikdash, but we view it as it's on loan. It's still around. We haven't forgotten about it. Like he gives a mashal that let's say a person is in debt and they have to like sell certain things. So they go into the house and they look, okay, I don't need this. Let's have a garage sale, and you get rid of things you don't really need. Then as things get tougher, you sell things again you don't really need, you'd like to have, but it's not really a need. And certain things, no matter how bad it gets, even if you have to get rid of them, but so to speak, you put it on collateral. Like, okay, I'm only giving it away on collateral, but when I get my money back, I'm going to take this back. So too, that's what the Mishkan, the Mashkan, the Beis HaMikdash, they're all on collateral, and even though we don't have them today, but it's something that it's in our grasp. It's just a matter of, it's only temporary, and it's something that's still in our grasp that we can get back when the time comes. And that's what the Mishkan Mashkan relationship. And even the Jews in Galus showing a tremendous connection to the temple. Even now, it's only like a collateral, and we can get back the Beis HaMikdash very shortly. And there's another thought I saw. I read in a email again on Shabbat. I think it was Rabbi Gottlieb. I think he used to be Rav in Baltimore. I think he's in Eretz Yisrael now. He quoted a pshat from Rav Volozhin, not Rav Chaim Volozhin, I believe his brother, and he wants to say something just in the opposite direction. That where do we find in the Torah that we find with creditor, with the debtors, with the mashkon? So it's a pasuk in Parashas Shmos, Mishpatim Chaf Beis, Chaf Hei Chavav 25-26, that the Torah tells us when discussing the laws of mashkon, the Torah tells us that if the item is needed that the debtor has, one has to give back the item. So Rashi writes, for example, that let's say it's something the person needs at night, so you have to return it for night. If it's something during the day, if it's needed, it has to be returned. That's what the Pasuk tells us, and Rashi elaborates in Parashas Mishpatim. The Rav Volozhin wonders if that's the case, if we see when it comes to a collateral, if a mashkon must be returned when it's needed, certainly the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, is needed and must be returned. So, how come the Beis HaMikdash we don't have back now? So, Rav Volozhin explains quite nicely. He says, because if you look at the Pasuk, in Pasuk Chavav, what does it say about the collateral? Why does the creditor give the debtor back the collateral? Because it says, if he cries out to me, I shall listen, for I am compassionate. In other words, it's so painful for the debtor, so when the person in debt screams out in distress that he's missing it, so then you show your compassion, albeit maybe temporarily, you give it back at night during the day, and the mashkon is returned. Unfortunately, the conclusion must be is that we are in anguishing over the destruction of the temple. It's not bothering us enough, that we don't have the temple back, that we're not crying out in pain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if he cries out in pain, then he'll be compassionate like we see by the Mashkon. And that's the connection, Mashkon and Mishkon, that according to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Yaakov is a strong bond. And over here, Mashkon, according to Rav Volozhin, means we've lost our connection. We're not anguishing enough. That's why we don't have it back yet. So these two explanations of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rav Volozhin seem to be polar opposites. That Rav Yaakov says it shows our love, our connection, our appreciation for the Beis HaMikdash even when we don't have it. And according to Rav Volozhin, the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash today shows a lack of appreciation. We're not even bothered by it enough to cry out. If we cry out, just like a mashkon has to be returned, so too the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, mashkon will be returned. So perhaps we could suggest that, like all things in life, that when we first missed them, I'm sure when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, whether it was the first minutes, hours, days, weeks, or years, I'm not sure where the cutoff point was, but Jews were anguishing over the destruction, the Churban HaBayis, the destruction. And unfortunately, after many hundreds of years in Golis, in exile, as always, we get used to the Golis. As the Gerer Rebbe once said on a pasuk in Parshas Va'era, that when the Torah is talking about the terrible thing of the Golis, so it used Laman Sivlos Mitzrayim, and the word Sivlos, which means burdens, but he plays as a play on words, Sovel, from the word Savlanut, we have patience. The most dangerous part of the Golis is when we could tell we don't feel we're missing anything. Like, what's wrong? We have everything here. We have kosher, we have yeshivas, we have shuls. What do we need the Beis HaMikdash for? That's exactly what Rav Elazar is saying here. When we no longer cry out that we're missing it, so God does not return the mashkon. So originally we feel the pain, but we've reached a state, unfortunately, where we l'man sivlos Mitzrayim. We're able to solve the golus. We're not crying out over the loss, and we're not crying out, God isn't returning it. So although this isn't a great conclusion, it's painful and very hurtful that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash yet, but the good news is it's in our hands. If we do tshuva, if we feel the pain and we cry out, and God sees the anguish of the temple or the lack of temple, then God will bring back the temple as well. And as we're coming close to the end of Purim, we just bench Rosh Chodesh Ador Sheni, and therefore, also it's like Purim was a reconnection as well to the Beis HaMikdash, too, that if we cry loud enough over the destruction and we feel the pain, so God will return the collateral, the Mashkon, Mishkon.